So the Bible reading this morning is Proverbs chapter 10, verses 1 to 22. You can find that on page 643 of the Church Bibles. Proverbs chapter 10, 1 to 22. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. Ill-gotten treasures are of no value, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. Lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands bring wealth. He who gathers crops in summer is a wise son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Blessings crown the head of the righteous, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. The wise in heart accepts commands, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. He who winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers over all wrongs. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. Wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of a fool invites ruin. The wealth of the rich is their fortified city, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. The wages of the righteous bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment. He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Where words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. The blessings of the Lord bring wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Victoria. If you're able to keep that reading open, hopefully you'll find it really helpful. As we look at it now. Let's pray for a moment. The psalmist writes, "Open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word." So, Father, we ask that you will indeed open our eyes to see treasure in the Proverbs today. For Jesus' sake, amen. Well, I have in my hand two powerful things. I wonder which one do you think is the most powerful? The sword, which is able to pierce your heart, and the pen, which is even mightier. The words it writes can pierce your hearts too. And today, we are going to be reminded of the power of words. And Ignite, going to be reminded to make your way out. Thank you. So think for a moment about the power of words in your experience. First, negatively. I wonder, when did you last say or tweet or WhatsApp something you regretted? Perhaps it was the moment it left your mouth, or the moment you pressed enter on the screen and you thought, oh no, I wish I'd thought about that first. But the damage was done and you can't take it back. I did an email a short while ago and felt exactly like this. And I thought, oh no, and I'm even speaking about this coming on a coming Sunday soon. You see, people have lost their jobs, or relationships and friendships have been broken through blurting before thinking. The power of words. Or positively, when was the last time someone said something that really made your day? a kind and thoughtful word that was just right. And it really cheered you up. Wasn't it wonderful when that happened? Some years ago, I had an interview for some funding for my master's. And it was awful. I was absolutely grilled and given a really hard time about my theological views. And afterwards, I went to the college principal to sort of download and debrief. And he listened to the story and then said to me, "Nick, I think you've been persecuted for the cross because of your Christian faith." And his words were like a balm to my wounded soul. It made me realize I hadn't messed the interview up. I'd done the right thing. And it was wonderful. And I still treasure those words many years later. What a difference it can make. And wouldn't it be great if we could be like him and be better at using words kindly to help others. Some people have had their lives saved by a kind word that made all the difference. The power of words. And so today we're going to be thinking about how we can be wise with our words. We're in the main section of the book of Proverbs from chapter 10 onwards. And it's packed with these short, pithy, easy-to-remember sayings. They are wisdom in a nutshell, condensed poetry, sayings in pairs that make us think. Now, today we're going to cover a lot of ground, grabbing proverbs from all over. So I need to say, proverbs are best enjoyed like hard sweets. If you try to bite them quickly, you'll probably miss the full taste, or even break your teeth. But if you suck and chew them slowly, then the flavors will come out. We are in danger today of crunching them too quickly. So I hope that you are inspired by the sayings in Proverbs that make so that it makes you think, I need to get back to them. Get really acquainted with them and chew them into my life. So let's ask, what do the Proverbs say about wise use of words? I'm going to divide it into two main parts. First, see the power of words, and therefore seek to be characterized by good words. So first, see the power of words. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And we see this power in Proverbs in two ways. First, words go deep into us. Words penetrate the heart to do great good or great harm. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And when they do cause damage, don't underestimate how much it can hurt. So this proverb says, a man's spirit sustains him in sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? So two examples of how words can cause harm. There's the words of gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. Hearing gossip is it's a bit like a kind of illicit pleasure, dangerously exciting. But do you see? It goes deep down into our hearts. So, dear friends, beware. Your words, what you say about other people, can deeply influence others and their views. And it can cause great damage because they take it to heart. Or another form of damage is flattery. Whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. If you give false praise, you may cause someone to take it to heart. Imagine if I say to Jordan this week in our supervision, Jordan, you're doing so well. Do you know what? I think you have the potential to be the Archbishop of Canterbury. How do you think he'd receive that? Do you think that would be helpful for me to say that? I give that example because I know someone who, when they were a ministry trainee, their trainer said exactly that to them, and what harm that caused. Our words go deep and cause harm, but also, wonderfully, they can heal. So that sentence again, reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Or here's another one, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but a kind word cheers him up. Even busy Hertfordshire folk, and we are busy, even we can give a kind word, a short call, a little text, and what a difference it can make. One word can have an impact for a lifetime, such as when my principal said, "You've been persecuted for the cross." I wonder, can you remember a kind word that someone said that has made all the difference for you? And maybe that example can inspire you to help others. Some other examples. Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. They can affect us emotionally and also physically. In fact, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. So see the power of words. They go deep into us to do great good or great harm. But secondly, they don't just have a deep impact, but also a wide impact. They spread widely. Proverbs 16, 27, a scoundrel plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. Think of how a tiny spark can set off a wild forest fire. A tiny tweet can cause billions to be wiped off the company's value in minutes. Or another way they can cause harm, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Perhaps you have known the pain and hurt of someone who likes to stir things up. Maybe you've even done it yourself. What damage it can cause. Close friends separated. What a tragedy. But of course, they can also spread good as well. Look at this one. From the fruit of his lips, a man is filled with good things, as surely as the work of his hands rewards him. Your words bear fruit, and if it's good fruit, it will rebound in benefit to you. Wonderful. But also to benefit others. Proverbs uses the images of fountains or babbling brooks to show how words can spread their good effects. So in our reading, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Or an even better image in chapter 15, the tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. And this picture, the tree of life, hints at the blessings beyond this life. The tree of life is, of course, talking about eternal life. It points us to heaven. Our words can impact people for eternity. Think of the power of our words when we share the good news of Jesus. Christ calls us to announce and to spread his gospel. And the gospel, Paul reminds us, is the power of salvation to save people for eternity. So see the power of words. That being so, therefore, our second point is really important, and I'm going to skip those. Can't do everything, unfortunately. Seek to be characterized by good words. And Proverbs has much to say about the characteristics of good and wise speech. Good words are honest, few, calm, and timely. Let's look at each in turn. First, honest. And this is a nice one. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Or this one, which leaders will enjoy. Kings take pleasure in honest lips. They value a man who speaks the truth. Proverbs teaches us the importance of being people of truth. We serve a God of absolute truth. And it's important to tell the truth, even when it's hard to hear. And this recalls last week, if you were here, when we thought about friendship, better is an open rebuke than hidden love. And wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. But there is balance in Proverbs. Although it is good to speak up and to speak out, Proverbs warns us of the dangers of being a chatterbox. Good words are few, or probably better to say fewer. Fewer than we would naturally use, because this is not to condemn the extrovert. It's about self-control rather than the absolute amount of words we use. He who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly will come to ruin. Or from our reading, wise men store up knowledge, but the mouth of the fool invites ruin. And you might have heard Victoria twice read a sentence where it said, "The chattering fool comes to ruin." There's even this proverb that says, "Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent, and discerning if he holds his tongue." But keeping to fewer words is of benefit not just to ourselves, but to others too. Proverbs 11:13, "A man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret." It's of benefit to one another. And also, it's of benefit before God from our reading as well. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. And then, thirdly, good words are calm. So here's another one. I'm bombarding you with Proverbs today. I hope you can cope. "A man of knowledge uses words with restraint, and a man of understanding is even tempered." Now, I don't think this condemns all anger, but how hard it is to be angry righteously. There are so many wise reasons to keep calm. For a start, it helps us to listen. So Proverbs 18, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." Oh no, you might be thinking, how many times have I jumped in and spoken when I would have done far better to listen first? Even the ancient Greek philosopher Epictetus said this 2,000 years ago, "We have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we speak." Being calm is of great benefit, but it also helps us to allow any tempers to cool. So Proverbs says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And finally, consider how powerful a gentle word can be. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. I'm sure there's a good word there for you as you relate to those over you at work. And also, I was thinking of parents here as well. A reminder, isn't it, that shouting and hollering at your kids may not be the best way. A calm, clear, gentle word is much more effective. So, good words are honest, fewer, calm, and finally, good words are timely. As I quoted at the annual church meeting the other week, a man finds joy in giving an apt reply, and how good is a timely word. And that requires wisdom, doesn't it, to say the right thing at the right time. Well, if this is the character of good words, we must be thinking, how can we be like this? How can we use our words like this? Well, the answer in Proverbs is that it is all about our character, our hearts. The heart of the righteous weighs its answers, but the mouth of the wicked gushes evil. The righteous person, therefore, thinks and considers what to say. And such an approach springs from their heart. So the key to wise speech is who you are. Who you are determines the words that you use. So Proverbs 14 says, "A truthful witness does not deceive, but a false witness pours out lies." Or in our reading, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value." And perhaps this reminds you of Jesus' teaching. Remember when he's talking about us, he says, "A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit." And also when he says, "From the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And this is why Proverbs says, if you remember it from last term, final one here, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." So, to repeat where we've got to so far, see the power of words, and therefore seek to be characterized by good words. So what then does it look like to take these things to heart, to seek to be characterized by these good words? I am sure that you are persuaded, I hope, that this is really relevant to all of us. This is really practical. But it may be that looking at this is also a bit painful, as it reminds you of when other people have hurt you with their words. Perhaps even someone in this room. And maybe you're thinking, I hope they're listening to this. They need this. But I'm sure, of course, there are many of us who've been blessed by others' words too, even in this room. Surely, though, to take this to heart ourselves, we need to think not about them, but first about us before God. Our words really matter. "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me," is surely a defiance of the reality that Proverbs teaches us. To take this to heart will also mean, therefore, avoiding thinking that our words are unimportant. So often in the world around us, we're told things like, "Just speak your mind, express yourself, don't hold back." But to live and to speak like that without restraint, without considering, well, Proverbs says there's a great danger. You're not thinking about the harm that your words can cause to yourself and to others. And we're called to a different vision. We're called to desire positively to be characterized by good words. And so again, I ask, well, how can we do this? Well, the New Testament book of James gives us some interesting help. And there's an extended section in chapter 3 of James about the tongue. And he says that if a person is able to control their tongue, they will be perfect. But then he gives us the really awkward punch. We can't. He says this in James 7, "For every creature..." So every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. And he says it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Help! And the only hope he gives us is that we need wisdom from heaven. We need God to change us. We need a word from heaven that is more powerful than the words that come out of our hearts. And this reminds me of some words at the beginning of John's Gospel. Wonderful words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. And of course, this Word of God, which is also the wisdom of God, is ultimately personified in Jesus. Just think of him for a moment. Think of the power of his words. Quiet, be still. And a raging storm stops. Lazarus, come out. And a dead man walked alive out of the tomb. And if anyone here today is a Christian believer, it is because you have heard Jesus' powerful word calling you to life, speaking into, piercing your heart. And think even more, Jesus is the only one who is perfect in his use of words, always in perfect control, honest, fewer, calm, and timely words. So, dear friends, the good news is, if we are feeling convicted by Proverbs, and I am, Jesus can help us. In fact, only Jesus can help us. He can give us his Holy Spirit today into our hearts as he speaks to us. Is anyone here not yet a convinced believer in Jesus? And do you recognize how you mess up with your words? You can't control them. Well, there is hope. Come to Jesus today for forgiveness, for the hope of eternal life, the tree of life, and the gift of the Spirit to change you now. Are you already a believer and yet conscious, like me, of failing in your use of words? Well, today, come again to him. Draw near to him, the living word. Draw near by faith as you eat and drink bread and wine in a moment. Receive his comfort and a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit today. Here is the wonderful news of our wonderful Savior, Jesus. Let's pray as we have considered this challenging and exciting subject for a moment. Let's pray. A couple of quotes from the New Testament. First, a challenging one. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Lord, we shudder when we think of this truth. We are convicted, if we are honest, with our words and the thoughts that give rise to those words. Have mercy on us today. Forgive us, we pray, each one of us and as a church family. And then some encouraging words. Standing at the well, speaking to this sinful woman, Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Lord Jesus, thank you that you invite us to receive life today. You invite us to receive the living water of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. Not just to receive forgiveness, but also real change. Please help us to respond to you today, Lord, in the way that you want us to. In Jesus' name, amen.